You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I believe that was on a Festivus Friday, if I remember correctly.
Unbelievable. All right, I got a Whopper.
Hang on. I have breaking news.
Oh.
Bill Glass, my good buddy Dr. Rick, just confirmed that he will be at Big Slick.
Oh, fun.
He's coming back. Hit a home run at the last one.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And we have Dayton Moore's event this evening for See You in the Major Leagues.
See You in the Major Leagues, that's right.
She's got 12 items.
Okay, eyes on your own basket.
Young homeowners turning into their parents love rules.
Come on, man.
Let's go.
Everybody knows you're not supposed to put yard waste in a trash
bin.
Let's
go. It's a thing.
Oh, there's dedicated RV parking around the back.
No, we're not leaving a note.
It's okay. You don't need a ticket. There's no one waiting.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents.
See?
But we can save you money when you bundle home and auto with us.
Technically, these onions count as one item.
You're literally the only one who cares.
Yep. Not your trash.
So funny.
That's so good.
So funny.
I would love to see Dr. Rick do a commercial on, you know, a well-meaning neighborhood guy that wears a bathrobe and goes around turning off people's hoses.
Hmm.
Well,
who would do that?
Take that up the chain at
who would be so foolish?
The insurance
and
company
immature.
And see if that's something they'd be interested in.
We should have Dr. Rick pitch that to his company.
Mm-hmm. I'll see when he comes to town if he can come in and
do. We'd love
maybe
it.
Join us for
absolutely
a little bit.
Love it. All right, my favorite story by far in our stack today. Do you have a right, whatever you do for your job, to also be a customer of that place when you are not working?
Of course.
Okay. A judge is going to decide who has the rightful claim to a $12.8 million lottery jackpot after one of the convenience store clerks at the Circle K, this is important, clocked out, took off his uniform, you know, grabbed a soda and a lottery ticket on his way out and went home. The lottery ticket was worth $12.8 million. Who does the money belong to? The Circle K claims the manager used, quote, insider knowledge to buy a set-aside ticket.
Yep, there it is.
And he says,
hang on.
No.
I'm coming to you in a minute.
I had clocked out. I took off my uniform. I bought a ticket like everybody else.
Sounds like it's his.
Nope. Well, here's where there's
we're gonna have to go to our convenience store.
Well, there's one detail I left out. Have you read what it is, Sam?
I have not, no.
Okay, I'm not going to give you the detail then. If you worked at Quick Trip and you were done with your shift and you clocked out and you're like, you know what? I'm thirsty. I'm going to get a Diet Coke and you don't give me a Powerball. And you won, you're saying you would not have a claim to that ticket?
That is not what I'm saying.
The word set aside was used.
The word set aside was the trigger word. If I got off my shift at Quick Trip, which I regularly did, if I had a $5 bill in my pocket, I'd go and I'd fill up my fountain drink.
Okay.
And I'd go back to the counter and I'd buy a $5 scratcher. I'd scratch it right there and see, you know, if there wasn't a line.
Okay.
On the customer side of the counter.
Yeah.
At that point, I was a customer. Same thing like this guy. I would have to take my badge off. I obviously wouldn't take my shirt off. That'd be kind of weird.
Hot, but weird, yeah.
In that instance, I was acting as a customer.
Okay.
If, and this happens all the time, there are misprints, and I print them on my shift, I cannot then purchase those misprints or set-asides.
What are you supposed to do with the misprints?
If there is a scratcher ticket that gets pulled and not sold and set off to the side, and it's now out of order of the scratchers, so the scratcher deck is on, say, 12, and this ticket's 16, that is a set-aside, that is now illegal for me to purchase that ticket.
Why? Did you just throw it in the trash?
Because of the potential for manipulation. How would I know that that ticket was correct?
Come on.
There's no idea for me to know. But I, in theory, and obviously I would get fired for this if I were to have tried to do this, I could sit there and scratch every single ticket without paying for it, set aside the ones that are winners, clock out, take my badge off. Hey, I'd like to buy those eight that are sitting right
there. So let me tell you what happened, and now I'm starting to see what you're saying, and I wonder if he's going to lose this lawsuit.
Were these scratchers that he got?
No.
Or a
it's like a lottery ticket. This is what happened.
Arizona lottery.
A different customer went into Circle K and bought $60 worth of tickets, but the cashier accidentally printed out $85 worth. Okay? Mm-hmm. They said, and I want $60 worth of Powerball tickets, whatever it was. The cashier said, okay, $60, but accidentally typed in $85.
Okay.
So the extra $25 worth of tickets were set aside. He gave the customer the $60 that she wanted. After the lottery announced the winning tickets, they are saying the manager realized one of the set-aside tickets was the jackpot winner and bought it.
So this makes it even more complicated, which is part of the reason why you can't buy set-asides that you print off, because there are games that draw in the middle of the day.
And but this isn't one of them. You would never have known that the set-aside ticket, the extra 25 bucks that she didn't need or want, you would never have known that was the winner.
There's more. He bought, Robert Galitza bought the other $25 worth of tickets for 10 bucks.
Well, how much are they supposed to be?
$25.
A buck a ticket, yeah.
Ooh, what if he said, I'll give you $15 and you give me the winning $12.8 million ticket?
So
I will pay the extra $15. Are you saying, Sam, under no circumstance, because he bought the set aside, even if he had paid the full amount, could he have legal claim to that ticket?
If he walked in before his shift and bought a bunch of set asides, he's fine. It's the fact that he printed it.
He set it aside
and he bought it.
According to Arizona law, those set-asides belong to Circle K.
What you're supposed to do is some of the tickets allow you to cancel them on the spot. So you go into the machine, hit cancel ticket, scan the ticket, boom, it's done. Now, doing that with 25 tickets would take a while, but you got to do what you got to do. And then on the games that don't let you cancel the ticket, and I don't remember which ones are which, some do, some don't, they go into a folder. You then get the money back from the lottery because that number is now a void number. And you move on with your day as a convenience
store. And he bought these tickets after knowing what the draw was?
He says no.
No.
He just bought the set-aside tickets. And the powers that be are saying you technically could have had some inside information.
What that would be, I don't know.
I don't know either. He's disputing all of it and says, I want that ticket. Let me ask you this.
So he bought the ticket, but it's more of like a procedural...
I don't know.
Well, and he bought $25 worth of tickets for $10.
Right.
If you open the window a little bit, the wind's going to flow through hard enough, it's going to rip it wide open. They have to have a hard line on this because if they open that caveat in any way, shape, or form, everybody's going to find a loophole.
Why not, if you're that Circle K, independently owned and operated, let's say it is, just split it down the middle. You take $6 million. I'll take $6 million.
They wouldn't get paid out.
You don't think any of it's going to get paid out?
Mm-mm. At least as far as I understand how Quick Trip worked, they would not get... If I had misprinted a winning Powerball ticket, it would not get paid out to the store.
The store.
It would just be canceled.
In this case, a judge will now decide who owns, I guess if anyone, who owns that ticket.
It's Circle K.
It's probably not worth anything because... They just own the paper and the procedure of the whole thing.
A lawyer says he thinks the case, Circle K, has the upper hand in this case.
Could he just have quietly won it and not said anything to anybody?
No, because Circle K went through the video.
Okay.
They saw that he was the one that set it aside.
Okay.
Yeah.
He couldn't have just shown up at the lottery office, you know how like it's probably in a different town, and said, oh my gosh, I'm the winner. And just quietly turned
it in. Well, no, because then they would have got, so they still go back and look at the camera footage to make sure you're the one that bought the ticket.
Oh my gosh. What a tangled web we weave.
Like in theory, I couldn't even, so say my shift was done at 3 o'clock. At 2:58, I couldn't print off two Powerballs, clock out, take my badge off and be like, hey, I just printed those Powerballs. Can you charge me $4 for them? That would be in violation.
This guy was so close.
He was so close.
So close.
So close.
like a back hair away.
Don't.
When we get back, 913-586-7798. Do you have the rights to your own life story? Especially if you're famous.
Is it based on a true story?
Do you have the rights to your own life story? We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the Hollywood Reporter, a biopic, chronicling the early life of legendary rock star Billy Joel is in the works, though the Piano Man himself is not affiliated with the project at all.
How can you make a movie about somebody who's not involved in the project?
And he is calling out the film as both legally and professionally misguided. In fact, if I understand correctly, none of his music actually appears in the film.
That is correct. Not a single second.
He wouldn't be allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to give permission for that, wouldn't he?
John Ottman, who edited the recently released Michael, is now directing Billy and Me, and Adam Ripp is writing the screenplay. For the project, Ottman and Ripp secured the life rights of Billy Joel's former manager.
Not the same.
Irwin Mazur. As well as John Small, a longtime fan of Joel's. But as a rep for Joel says, the singer has been in touch with the filmmakers for several years to confirm that they do not have his rights for the picture.
They're basically telling the story of the manager that happens to include Billy Joel.
Do you own the rights to your own life story?
My gosh, obviously, Billy Joel, and thank God for it, is still alive. That's the other thing. Like, I wonder after you're dead, they can say anything, right? Like the Queen biopic. Okay, Freddie Mercury's not here to dispute.
The other three members are.
But the other three members were. We just had a Bob Dylan biopic.
He's still alive.
Was he, did he applaud?
I have no idea.
That performance?
I have no idea.
I didn't watch it.
Johnny Cash was not alive when Walk the Line came out.
Oh, such a good movie.
Obviously, Lincoln was not alive when Lincoln came out.
There's a big one.
Man,
I don't know how I feel about this.
Really?
It's a common colloquialism.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'd be ticked off if I was Billy Joel. Because they're going to profit off of his name and likeness. What are they calling it, Piano Man?
Billy and Me.
Okay, so that's how they're getting around it. Billy and Me, they're saying, well, this isn't really Billy Joel's story.
It's his manager's
sort of
story.
Through the eyes of this adjacent person. I bet that's how they're getting around it.
Well, of course it is.
Now, the individual themselves not authorizing it kind of makes it more intriguing, does it not?
Well, that's always what they say about the salacious tell-all book.
Because why are you so adamant that this story not be told? Granted, it's your life. You have a right to say that I don't want it to be told.
But you have zero control over how they're telling it or what liberties they're taking or what. And we don't know what his relationship is like with this manager. I'm guessing he doesn't have one.
It's not good anymore.
Not good.
He's not
wasn't Billy
have
Joel
after
also one of the ones that got bilked out of however many millions early on by someone who was managing his money? I'm not saying it was this guy.
I don't recall that.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't recall. But, I mean, there are movies made about famous people all the time.
But most some of them
living,
are dead.
Some.
Billy Joel lost an estimated $30 million in the late 1980s at the height of his success, Scott.
We didn't start the fire.
To his former manager and ex-brother-in-law, Frank Weber.
This manager
is Ottman.
Okay.
Did not manage him at all throughout his Billy Joel career.
What else is there?
He was in a couple of bands prior to becoming Billy Joel.
Yeah, this is about his early professional music career.
Like 16 to, I don't know, 28 or something.
By the way, the guy who's working on this movie not only did Michael, but was also an editor for Bohemian Rhapsody.
So now they're like, all right, give me another artist.
Yeah.
Who else can we do?
They told the story of Michael Jordan without Michael Jordan.
In what movie?
Air. It was kind of about the shoe deal, but it was also about Michael Jordan and his life.
It was about the two guys. And by the way, if you've ever seen Air, which is a great movie, you never see Michael Jordan's face. The guy who plays Michael Jordan in the movie, he's always shot from behind. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's because...
Well, it would have to be.
Why?
Well, or they would have shown him.
My guess is it was one of two things. Number one, the mystery of, you know, that's Michael Jordan or whatever. We know who that is. Or B, the people who put together that movie. And isn't it Ben Affleck and Matt Damon in that movie?
I believe so, yeah.
I've never seen it. I need to see it.
I do too.
And the other reason would be that maybe they feared if we...
They might be sued.
It might be sued by Michael Jordan, yeah. If we pretend that somebody is Michael Jordan and he's going to take us to court.
It's no secret that Billy Joel had a bit of a checkered past.
Oh, I don't think I'd say checkered.
DUI. I mean, his slate was not clean.
I didn't know about the DUI, but I don't know that there are many rockers whose slate is clean.
I mean, Elton John... In Rocket Man, I'm assuming he signed off on that.
Heavy addiction.
But the very end of that movie is him with wings on.
Walking into rehab.
Coming out of a concert, walking into an AA meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. He did not get a DUI.
He did crash
his car in East Hampton, was airlifted to a hospital.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I think Billy Joel is one of the cleaner, honestly.
Maybe. Why not just participate in the movie?
Why?
Why not? Tell your side of the story.
Why?
So that somebody else doesn't get to tell your story for you.
That's a trap, and you know it. That's what they say when someone is writing a tell-all book. You can either cooperate or I'll just fill in some blanks. It's an absolute trap.
Would you participate in a movie about the story of Dana Wright?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
I remember when I got out of rehab. In October of 2023, I got an email from a reporter at the Kansas City Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that day, if I didn't call him, he was going to tell my story for me. And I called him right before the show that day, my first day back. I went back to the back office, and I don't even remember who wrote the story. And I called him, and I said, you reached out. I want to tell my side of the story.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay.
This is different because you know this. In Hollywood, it could be based on a true story. It could be inspired by real events. We've seen lawsuits all over the place over those words, inspired by true events. And then the person that is chronicled in Name Your Movie or Show says, the hell, that's not how that happened. What are you talking about?
But you know this as well as anybody. We've been in this business a long time. If Billy Joel were to sue the makers of this movie for defamation, he would have to prove malice, that they completely mistold the story to hurt him. And because when you're famous, there's a different bar. You know this. There's a different bar.
Yes. I don't know. I think most of the biopics of late that have been successful, I guess there was a Springsteen one, have chronicled people that were either on board with it or who are no longer here.
Right. And by saying that, no longer able to sue.
Correct.
So if I was the producer of this movie, the opening line before anything starts.
Billy Joel had nothing to do with this.
Inspired by real events.
Sort of.
And I would kind of.
In the memory of one guy who doesn't even talk to Billy Joel anymore.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Update after the shooting death of a Lee's Summit teenager today. A Chicago law firm has stepped in and they say they want transparency and answers after the death of 19-year-old Savion McConnell. So McConnell was from Lee's Summit, Scott.
Okay.
And I had heard about this shooting. He was fatally shot by a Lafayette County Sheriff's deputy on an old part of, was it 150 Highway?
50 Highway.
Or 50 Highway, pardon me, Sam. But I did not learn until yesterday, and the Missouri Highway Patrol has confirmed this, the teenager was struck by the patrol car first, then shot and killed. So in a statement this afternoon, the law firm, it's Romanucci and Blandon out of Chicago, says it will investigate the May 1st shooting near Pittsville. This is in Johnson County, Missouri.
Never even heard of that.
The firm says McConnell was unarmed when a deputy struck him with his patrol vehicle and then shot him multiple times. And apparently there's a female witness in one of the stories I read that watched the car strike him. And then she said the deputy got out and said she heard get down, and then multiple shots were fired. Quoting here from one of the attorneys, based on the facts we know so far, the deputy's use of deadly force appears to be completely unjustified. Savion was an unarmed teenager. The deputy struck him with his police car, using his vehicle as a weapon, they say, moments before shooting him to death. We do not believe Savion posed any imminent threat that would have justified the use of deadly force. And one of the things you guys were asking out in the newsroom, we've gotten some more information on, is what was he doing out walking? And I'm not saying you don't have the right to do that, but
he does.
When we first heard about this, we were like, did his car run out of gas? Like, what is he doing walking on 50 with a buddy? And here is what the Kansas City Star is reporting. The Missouri State Highway Patrol is the investigating body. Okay. They say that it was believed he had left from the scene of a shooting about 2 hours earlier along the highway, 4 miles east, in which a 17-year-old girl was injured, has since been released from the hospital. I don't know anything more about that shooting. His family says that witnesses say that shooting was an accident. The girl that was involved has been released. She's fine. Okay?
Okay.
So then along comes a sheriff's deputy who sees Savion walking down the road with this buddy, and they thought one of them matched the description of someone who might have been involved in this earlier non-fatal shooting of this teenage girl.
By the way, Pittsville is just east of Powell Gardens.
All they will say is they are still investigating. They were in the process of trying to question them, I guess, when this happened, but someone is going to have to answer to why was he struck with the squad car?
No, I think
first,
the more important question
then
is
shot,
why was he shot
to death
if he wasn't armed? Now, I can understand if he, quote, matched the description of somebody involved in a shooting earlier in the evening, which is to say, I think he was black, walking in an area that probably doesn't have a lot of black people.
Late at night.
But why did the officer hit him with the car? Was it intentional? Was it unintentional? And why do you shoot someone who doesn't present a weapon?
Eyewitnesses,
or for that matter, a threat.
This is where this just breaks my heart, Scott. It breaks my heart. Eyewitnesses have reportedly told the victim's family and local media that McConnell stopped, raised his hands, and said, okay, okay. Those same witnesses also described the deputy initially striking him with the patrol vehicle prior to the shooting. Once you've struck someone with your car, we don't know.
Okay.
There's going to be dash cam of this. Once you strike someone with the squad car, unarmed.
Well, go ahead.
Why, how does this then lead to a shooting that claimed this 19-year-old's life?
It says in this story, that he was fleeing. Okay, fleeing is against the law. But it's not a death penalty, nor should it be.
Because the case is currently open, the body-worn camera footage remains private and would require a court order to be released from the public. Now, I will tell you this. There's no way the Kansas City Star and the other media outlets are not
for sure
open records requesting the video.
Of course.
Because we don't know. We know what witnesses say they saw or are reporting that they saw. We don't know. And I've always said this with law, even in the middle of an active investigation, it is always better to be transparent.
Yeah.
Release the video.
Were these witnesses passersby? Did they stop?
It doesn't say. Just as the witness was a woman.
I'm confused by the idea of witnesses on a highway at night.
Well, the lighting wouldn't have been any better for the officer, would it, Sam?
I agree.
So I travel this road at least once a month to go see Maya, who goes to school.
Oh, that's right.
In Warrensburg. And I knew the name Pittsville. I just didn't know how I knew it. There is one sign. This is a very small, unincorporated town. Think Reno, Kansas on the way out to Lawrence from Leavenworth, Bonner Springs. It's a very small town. It is not well lit at all. And Sam, to your question, how did somebody see this?
Here it is.
If it occurred at night,
it is.
I don't know the answer.
It's because of the prior shooting of that 17-year-old girl. A group of teenagers and young adults were returning to Lee's Summit from a college party Friday.
It's a hell of a walk.
When a 17-year-old girl was shot inside of a car around 2 a.m. They called 911. The girl survived, was taken to the hospital. One of the people inside that car called his aunt, who then responded to the scene near 50 Highway and Highway 131. According to the witness, Johnson County, Missouri Sheriff's deputies questioned and released three people inside of the car where this girl was shot.
Okay.
But authorities say they learned that a fourth person had run from the car before they got there. As we're driving down 50 Highway going west, I see another kid or young adult on the side of the road. And I said, is that one of your friends? Just as her nephew got out to check, that's when she says authorities spotted 19-year-old Savion McConnell. Investigators with the Missouri State Highway Patrol Division of Drug and Crime Control say Lafayette County Sheriff's deputy hit McConnell with his car at 3:53 a.m., The cop, this is quoting from her, the cop car kind of hit him on the right side of the car, and I see this person stumble.
Read the rest of the quote. When the officer came and was like, get down, there were no seconds in between, just pop, 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 five times.
Everyone is like, put your hands up, put your hands up. They were telling Savion, put your hands up. He has his hands up, and the officer said, get to the ground, get to the ground, did not give him enough time to get to the ground, another witness said, who asked to not be identified when interviewed by Fox 4.
913-58.
Why not just release the video? Release the video. Well,
probably because it doesn't make them look good.
Now you've got a firm in Chicago saying, we have seen this play out before.
Oh, yeah.
We know the ending here, but we know what happens when there is a delay. Even if no one is trying to hide anything, this is an outside investigative agency that is investigating this, yeah, as it should be. Even if no one is hiding anything, the longer they wait to release it, the worse it looks. And then it allows in this vacuum for people to start saying, why? What are you hiding?
Well, to whom do you file the lawsuit? The Lafayette County Sheriff's Department, the Missouri State Highway Patrol? I think there would be a different response depending on the agency that you sue. The Lafayette County Sheriff's Department is, let's just say, not the biggest sheriff's department in the world,
and look at how many
and
employees.
Probably don't normally deal with these kinds of things. I'm not defending them. Don't get me wrong, but it's probably not very often that the big city media comes to Lafayette County and says, we need the body cam. And we need it now.
It looks like there are 12 deputies when fully staffed.
So it's small. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Really kind of stunning, terribly sad breaking news. NASCAR legend Kyle Busch is dead at the age of 41. Now, we had knew earlier today he was hospitalized.
With a severe illness.
Let me tell you how quickly this happened. 7 hours ago, his family released a statement that Kyle has experienced a severe illness resulting in hospitalization. He is currently undergoing treatment, will not compete in any of the scheduled activities this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway. We ask for understanding and privacy as our family navigates this situation. It was 7 hours ago.
He won the cup in 2015 and 2019.
And then just now from NASCAR, we are saddened and heartbroken to share the news of the passing of Kyle Busch, a two-time cup champion and one of our sport's greatest and fiercest drivers. He was 41 years old. We extend our deepest condolences to the Busch family, Richard Childress Racing, and the entire motorsports community.
He was crazy good.
Yeah, he was. I think he won 63 races in his career.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
He participated in 762 NASCAR races. 63 wins total.
Yeah, 63. Look, yeah.
35 poles. So he won the qualifier 35 times.
A severe illness requiring hospitalization. That was the statement 7 hours ago. And now he is 41 years old.
This has been a hell of a week.
My God.
Kyle Busch, whether you liked him or not, most people didn't. Mark Furman, Tom Kane, I'm missing one.
Cynthia Newsom.
Yep.
Cynthia Newsom, that's right. Man.
Yeah, Busch was not well liked for his
he was not.
Demeanor post-race and kind of in the public eye, but
He was sort of the bad boy of NASCAR.
Yep, exactly that.
Listen to this. This is from Twitter, but it's from a physician. Take that for what it's worth. Kyle Busch, just 10 days ago, while racing, asked his team to, quote, find him a doctor. Not sure what exactly happened over the past 10 days, but he just unexpectedly passed away. He was only 41 years old. So it will come out in the coming days what the heck happened, but
sure.
Was feeling ill 10 days ago and asked his team to find him a doctor. And that was from, by the way, NASCAR on Fox reported Kyle Busch has asked for a doctor to meet him after the race at Watkins Glen.
That's too bad.
My goodness.
But to Sam's point, and I'm not talking bad about the dead at all, but he had this reputation as sort of the bad boy. He was the villain, if you will.
Because every sport needs a villain,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Well, he was
right.
The super cool guy. Like he didn't show a lot of humility, I guess, and that's why people didn't like him.
He said, and that Fox Sports had this, can somebody try to find so-and-so? He's the kindred doctor guy. Tell him I'd like him to meet me after the race, please, or on the bus. I'm going to need a shot copy. He'll be at your bus.
Could have been a heart attack, honestly. We obviously have no idea yet.
Yeah, we have no idea.
It's a very high-stress sport, taking G's for that many hours.
Yep. All right, news with Dan is coming your way in 2 minutes. Kyle Busch, dead at the age of 41.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.